Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California on this most spectacular spring day we call Easter. How fitting that we have with us tonight Dr. Carl Johan Kalimann, the incredible Mayan calendar scientist. Using the Mayan calendar, Dr. Kalimann predicted the 2008 financial collapse in the U.S. within just a few days. He also predicted the devastating Japanese earthquake. So tonight you're going to hear all about 2012, not because Dr. Kalimann says that the real end of the calendar or cumulation is on October 28, 2011, not December 21st, 2012. And it is not the end of the world. So stay tuned to an eye-opening and positive show surrounding this magnificent Mayan calendar. We'll be right back. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with the mobile app as well, or just listen through your MP3 player or computer. Remember, loaradionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the station for your well-being. The University of Attraction. Where else can you take free interactive courses from international scientists, medical doctors, spiritual leaders, and experts in the field of the Law of Attraction? At the university, you will have your personal questions answered, enhance your intuitive skills, communicate with the angels, fill your life with music, and free meditation and hypnosis downloads. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction. The doors are wide open, waiting for you now. Here's the most incredible singles cruise ever. That's right. Law of Attraction Radio Network with SpiritualSingles.com and MatchMatrix.com is putting on the most incredible cruise full of fun and romance. No matter your age, size, ethnicity, or whether you're single or in a long-term relationship, join us to spark up your love life. Our four-night cruise starts on Thursday, October 27th. We set sail from Miami to Key West to Cozumel. Join our relationship experts, tantra experts, love angel communicator, energy healer, and our very own laughing yoga, who will be assisting you in making this the best adventure of your life into love. Rates start off at $5.99, which includes all of the workshops. There are balcony cabins still available, but you must sign up immediately. Rates will go up dramatically after March 28th. Don't wait. Sign up with your $150 refundable deposit and book your cabin now. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to bring your costume for a wonderful evening of fun. Go to loaradionetwork.com and don't forget to tell us who referred you. We'll see you on board. Okay, we're back. First, I just want to let you know that there are a few cabins left at the original price, and we are looking for some men who want to find true love on the ship Destiny out of Miami on October 27th through October 31st, 2011. Wait, did I just mention the Mayan calendar ends on October 28th? That's right. We will be on board and on our way to Mayan country on October 28th. The stars are aligned perfectly for unity and love. So if ever there was a love boat, believe me, this is it. As you listen to our conversation with Dr. Kaliman tonight, listen to what he says about our cruise. I had no idea of the date when I booked the cruise, so this has been, again, divinely orchestrated. It's a very special cruise in which you will definitely connect with someone. So come aboard. And, you know, in preparation for this cruise, I personally need to get in shape. So you know what I'm doing? I'm using my hypnosis recordings. I love to eat smart and I love to exercise. These recordings actually change the way that I think from sacrificing in dieting and exercising to nurturing myself with real life food and joyfully moving my body. You know, when I listen to these, I feel like it's just my time that I share with no one else other than my subconscious mind as we rewire my brain to think healthy thoughts. You know, I deserve to nurture myself for 30 minutes a day. I also deserve to think differently about myself, and it works. Now, these two MP3 recordings are absolutely free to those who join the University of Attraction. This is a $49 value for free. And there are other recordings there as well for wealth and health and even for finding true love. Yep, it's all free. So come on in and join the University of Attraction today. New incredible magical classes are starting up this week and next with Janice Duncan, energy healer and transformationist, who was trained by none other than Joe Dunning. Also starting next week is the queen of internet marketing, Linda Miller, and she's going to be teaching the course on attraction marketing. Linda is going to give us the ins and outs and everything we need to know of how to make money through the internet. And after hearing all about the gas prices going sky high, well, it's time to turn to the internet to supplement your income so that we are less affected by what's going on in our immediate environment. I also want to mention that the University of Attraction now has the affiliate program going, where you can make money as you help people shift their consciousness. There's so much information to learn, and you can actually make money as you're learning. It just doesn't get any better than that. So join the University of Attraction. You won't regret it. You're going to love every minute of it as you make money. Now let's talk about the Mayan calendar with Carl Johan Kaliman, PhD. So who is this man we call Carl Kaliman? Well, Dr. Kaliman was born, raised, and educated in Sweden as a toxologist. He became interested in Maya since his first trip to Mexico in 1979 at the age of 29. Almost 15 years later, he was back in Sweden working full-time on solving the mystery of the Mayan calendar because he thought it would be just as important as finding the cure for cancer. He began writing books and articles on his findings. He started speaking about the topic, and he began collaborating with the Mayan elders who were gatekeepers of Mayan history to confirm his research. He also filmed interviews with Don Alejandro, head of the Council of the Elders of the Maya, together with a team in India in which Dr. Kaliman declared that he could see a wider unity and consensus coming about based on the true Mayan calendar than had previously been the case. Now, we all know about the fear-mongering and the prophets made off of the Hollywood film 2012. But now it's time to actually learn scientifically what the Mayan calendar is all about. We already know science has proven astrology to be correct and that the alignment of the planets to affect our emotions and abilities are, in fact, a science. But now we go a step further in learning about this most incredible record of history and the future through the Mayan calendar. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, Dr. Kalaman.
Thank you.
Well, I've got to tell you, you certainly are very popular. Just this morning, there are videos being passed all around through the internet talking about you and the end of the Mayan calendar.
Good.
That is good, because you have one powerful message.
Yes. Not to talk about me personally, but yes, it is. I do think it is an important thing for people to know about the Mayan calendar today. Yes.
Well, Dr. Kalaman, let's dive into some questions, because I know that from reading all of your articles that the start of the ninth wave was actually the trigger for the Japanese earthquake. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that is a suggestion. I cannot help thinking so. If you look at from a human perspective, from us, if you want to say the little small ants living on the surface of this planet, we only think of earthquakes as some disaster, something that causes pain and problems and so forth. But in the bigger perspective, the question is, why are there earthquakes to begin with? And it seems that, I think geologists are quite clear on that point. In the big picture of things, it's all about the continental drift, the fact that the plates on our planet, they are not constant, but they are actually moving in different directions. And as that happens, there will be frictions, and then in certain locations there will be earthquakes. And to begin with, I should say then that geologists and some people studying the evolution of the species and so forth, they say that if it were not for the fact that we have a continental drift, there would not be life on this planet. And so even if we as individuals may be hurt by earthquakes, it is part of some bigger thing. And what I have shown in my books is quite clear, I think, that our planet is like a global brain. It has a left brain half, it has a right brain half, and this is basically the western and the eastern hemispheres. And with a little bit of a fantasy, you may also think that the core of the Earth, which is known to have a crystalline structure basically made from iron and nickel, you might actually look upon that with a little bit of a fantasy as some kind of a crystal skull. This is the way I look upon it. We receive the framework of our thinking through the resonance with the Earth. So how does this then tie into the earthquake that happened recently in Japan? Well, I do believe that sometimes when a significant new wave, in other words, a significant shift in consciousness is entering the Earth, there will be a need to make some kind of a adjustment in the inner structure of the Earth. This seems to have happened in 1755, when there was a huge, terrible earthquake in Lisbon, which sort of changed the perception of people of life for a long time in 1755. And that was exactly when the seventh wave started. Now, in 2011, when the ninth wave started, exactly on that day, March 9th, somebody emailed me and said, look, the seismographs all over the planet are doing something funny here. It's not normal. And then 2 days later, there was this earthquake on the opposite side of the world from where it had been in 1755. And to me, this means that it's another, some kind of an adjustment that needs to be taken place in the core of the earth in order for a new kind of a resonance for us to develop this new frame of consciousness that we are up to with the ninth wave. That's how I look upon it. So, it's terrible tragedies that happens for us, the human beings who happen to be hit by one of those. But at the same time, I think there is a bigger perspective that this is part of how the Earth is transmitting information to us, and we should be aware of both of those aspects of it.
Wow, fascinating. Now, I have read in other articles that you are suggesting that perhaps we will not be seeing an earthquake of that magnitude for a while. Is that correct?
Yes, but I should emphasize here, I'm guessing, so to speak.
Okay.
I'm guessing. The reason I said that was that when I believe to have been an adjustment in the core of the earth that caused the Lisbon earthquake in 1755, that was not followed by a number of big earthquakes. It was just sort of some initial shift that happened. And so maybe it is the same thing going on here. But I'm guessing here, even though in general, I do think it may not be the best possible focus for us to just focus on these kind of things, but rather to focus what is mostly in our power to do, and which is all about this shift of consciousness that I believe that this particular ninth wave is bringing. But that also, of course, includes connecting with especially with the people of Japan, and I think it's a call, you might say, for us to start thinking about the way we've been living, and it may be the cosmic plan, the ninth wave, the divine is starting to tell us, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it wouldn't surprise me if we're going into a time span now where we simply will have to face ourselves and learn to ride this wave into unity consciousness. And part of that then would be that, you know, we're starting to learn we can't use more oil, we can't use more radiation, we can't do... I think that's the message that's coming. We have to face ourselves, and that the internal process of transformation of consciousness, that's really where the future lies.
Gosh, that's great. Let me ask you something, and I'm not sure that you made this statement, but somehow I got it into my mind, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. The intensity of energy surrounding every single one of us and our planet right now is so intense that whatever we focus on right now and whatever we project out, whatever we're visualizing on, will turn around and will become reality in 2012, in 2013, and on. Is this correct? Did I get this right or wrong?
Well, no, I don't. I'm not sure if I have said that.
Okay.
I think it was Ian Langold who followed my work and sort of took it up. So I don't think I exactly said that. What I've said, though, is that when the ninth wave started, which was March 9th, 2011, I had said a long time in advance that this will be a frequency increase. And to me, frequency increase means something very specific. It means that more things are being condensed into a shorter period of time. And I think that was very, very dramatically happening following this new wave being activated in March 9th. Because, usually what we've been used to is the world sort of having some kind of a drama going on in one place, and we will follow that drama for months maybe or so. But what happened here is that in a very short period of time, we had some major dramatic events. We had the earthquake in Japan. We had the nuclear crisis in Japan. We had a new war going on in Libya. We've had 12 Arabic nations being involved in revolutions to get rid of different monarchs or dictators that have been usurping them. And all of these things are significant to the world. And all of them would normally get all of our attention, just one of these Arabic nations maybe. But now there have been such a compression of events after the activation of the ninth wave that all of these things are happening simultaneously. And it's I read what some economists have been saying about this couple of weeks since this activation. They say that there have never been as many cross currents in the world, which makes it, to them, with their particular focus, very difficult to say anything what is going to happen, because it's just the level of complexity has increased with this added wave and this frequency increase. So I think I'm saying something else than what you asked, but anyway, I said that.
Okay, thanks for the clarity on that. But I feel, because we are energy beings, and because of the massive amount of energy that just the sun is throwing towards our planet, that the intensity of the energy does mean that whatever we focus in on right now is being energized tenfold. And so it will become a reality in 2012, 2013. That means that we should probably all focus in on the love, on the unity, on harmony between each other. So let me get back onto the Mayan calendar. Because you did state that December 21st, 2012, is not the end of the Mayan calendar. As a matter of fact, you state that October 28th, 2011, is the actual end of the Mayan calendar. And regardless of when it ends, it's not the end of the world.
Well, yes. That now we're coming closer to what I think I've said. First of all, I say that the it's not a good language. What mostly people are saying that the calendar is coming to an end, because the way I look upon it, it is like a climb. There are 9 levels of evolution of the universe, each of which developed with a particular kind of frequency. And this is like climbing a 9-storied pyramid, which are at the center of most of the significant Mayan sites. And each of these levels develops with a frequency which is 20 times higher than the one they stand upon. So basically, it is the Mayan calendar in the way I present it is not like a line coming to an end, pang. No, it's like a climb where we add higher and higher levels of consciousness. And we are coming to a point when these are going to culminate. And this I set at October 28, 2011, much earlier than most people are saying. But I think the fact that it was so evident with this frequency increase that we experienced when the ninth wave started, which is also a wave that leads up to this October 28 date, it makes it absolutely clear. I think it's very unfortunate that people have got the wrong end date, December 21, 2012, that many believe, because it tends to make people think, oh, it's something that is going to happen in the future. In reality, we're in that process now. This is the final countdown, and we need to think about how are we to relate to this. What does that mean, for instance, that we would like to manifest? And such questions. I think this is urgent now, and not to be put into some crazy date way into the future. We're coming to the top of the pyramid, and that's where we're going to stay. It's not the end of the world. It's meant to be a new, higher stage on which we are meant to live. And it's not. We know also that the ancient Maya did not believe this to be the end of the world, because they do have some dates that are thousands of years into the future from the current time. And so it's been a lot of misconstructing, I think, of in how people are understand the Mayan calendar.
So what does October 28th, 2011 mean for people? It's the accumulation of what?
Well, you know, to me, in my worldview, very much is much more than for many, I think, is part of a cosmic plan. And there is an overall guidance for what kind of things we may create at any of these levels of evolution that I'm talking about. And to me, it is more about the manifestation of a divine plan. But, of course, also I do believe that the divine is working through us. It gives hints. You know, in this time period, you may manifest this. This is within the reality that the divine is now creating to have happen. So I do believe that much of what will emerge on when the calendar is culminating is, in a sense, predetermined by the divine. And I tend to think much more that it is for us, the human beings, to sort of align with that, to manifest what is in alignment with this cosmic plan, because that's what I think is the really only way forward.
Okay, let's get a little bit more specific. So those people who saw the movie 2012 and they have this fear built up inside about what's going to happen, so they could be possibly manifesting that fear into their reality. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think now the film 2012 is to me just a silly thing.
Right.
But it's kind of obvious because it's all Hollywood already has this genre of what they call disaster movies. And Roland Emmerich, who made this movie, he was already called the master of disaster because he had already made so many disaster movies, and now he saw a new opportunity to make a disaster movie. And somehow this seems to play into some kind of a fantasy that many people have and they would like to have and so forth. I think it's not a fruitful thing to focus on what might be the possible disasters, because also in my worldview, as I said initially, I think the world has come to a point where it really cannot take much more, and we will be faced with events that maybe even are in the cosmic plan that is telling us, you know, you got to stop. It's not about this. It is about the internal transformation to oneness, to unity consciousness. And that, I believe, is what we should focus on. And if we do, I believe that what will come out of that is a truly beautiful world, what the Hopi would talk about as a jewel in the sky. But it may not be exactly what each of our egos would like to have. You know, I might want to have this, or I might want to have that. But at the same time, I feel quite strongly that the divine may have completely different plans for me and for you also.
Absolutely. And to break it down, you know, I've been talking about the interaction that I have and that I'm fortunate to have with people from around the world, that I can talk to them just like we're in the same room. And even though we have different cultures and different backgrounds, that we are discovering, regardless of governments, we're discovering our connection and our appreciation for each other, regardless of what we're being told about each other through the media. I have a feeling that this could be part of the ninth wave.
I think so, absolutely. And it's the end to dominance, and part of that is the recognition of people everywhere as in their unique beauty. And I think it's, you know, especially, well, I think what you're mentioning the Middle East, and I think we should be aware that that's not a separate process from our own. My view is that that's just the same process. It takes a different character there. But it is opening up for us. And I've also, in my correspondence and so forth, had some very interesting contacts with people in the Middle East recently that are just part of this big change, and it's just beautiful to see people are changing, and we're starting to see the humanity in these people that previously were sort of just stereotyped as terrorists or whatever have you, and it's coming out as something completely different. They're just like us, they just want the same thing, and they have, I believe, a lot to contribute to us, because they have, I believe, they have the Islamic tradition, it keeps the idea of a surrender to the divine, like a collective surrendering to the divine, and that's, I think, is very much part of what we now need to go into.
This is so fascinating. Let me ask you, the U.S. is going through major changes right now. As a matter of fact, all the countries of the world are having major changes, either politically or economically.
Yeah.
So does the decline in the economy for the U.S. and the world, does that show up in the Mayan calendar?
Yeah, I think so. The way the economy of the world has developed is something that, if you start to look upon it in the perspective of the Mayan calendar, you can actually see that several of the significant paradigm shifts in what has developed the economy, and the ups and downs of the economy is very directly related to shift points in the calendar. In other words, the calendar describes sequences of energies, and when there is a shift between some of these energies, then you will see some kind of an effect. The effect happens because the shift point influences our mind. And as our minds are influenced by these energies, it also takes an external effect. It makes it for an external effect. So the world outside of us, the economic, technological world, is also changing. And so this is the reason that in one of my books written in something like 2001, that I was able to predict exactly, or with maybe 2 weeks error or so, when the economic downturn would, with the mortgage situation and all that happened in 2007, late 2007. I knew it not because I'm an expert economist, but I knew when there would be some kind of a shift in the minds of people that would in one way or another have repercussions in the external world of economics, because ultimately that's a projection of ourselves. And so I believe there is something like that coming up at the current time as well. I don't think it will be easy for us. I think it's another sort of way that the divine will be saying stop, basically, and I think it will be quite difficult, to be honest with you. We have developed a particular economic system where we come to be so sensitive or so reliable on so many different things, so I foresee that happening certainly in the year of 2011, and I'm talking about some really major stop in the economy that I think will happen.
You know, I have a hunch it has to do with the fuel prices of everyone. It's just getting too tough for people to actually pay for the gas to put in their cars so that they can get to work. I think that really kind of paralyzes everyone. On top of that, and the debt ceiling and everything else, it's really fascinating. So what I'm hearing you say is that we need to stop focusing in on the material items and learn how to be happy with what we've got right now, regardless of what is going on. We've got to stay in that happiness realm in order to create a really terrific reality from all of this.
I think so, and but also be happy, I think, in creating, as you said, in your contacts with the people in the Middle East and so forth, be happy through which I believe those contacts that you're making, which since we're now already in the ninth wave, they are part of creating the new world beyond. Mm-hmm. Which is not such a tremendously mysterious thing as some people would like to have it. It's just a continuation of the processes that we're involved in right now. And yes, it is probably be happy what we have with what we have, but also be happy that we will see a new kind of world emerging that are based on completely different values, and we will be able to appreciate that world that is emerging will have a completely different sustainability and really provide for a solid foundation for peace, not the way the world is today, but truly a solid foundation in the shift, based on the shift of consciousness that is coming, that will be our joy, that kind of creativity, and not necessarily the kind of things that we've been focusing on previously. I do think it will be difficult to really be honest with you. And if I went on a much bigger scale compared to what we saw in 2008, and I cannot say exactly how it will. What I'd like to add is almost what you're saying, that I'm saying that if we focus on the creation of a new and world in harmony, that I'm convinced lies at the end of this, or at least as a plan, as a divine vision for where we're supposed to go. If we focus on that, then I think our needs will be taken care of one way or another. That is my feeling.
I agree, and that makes a lot of sense.
But I do think that the Mayan calendar provides a very wide framework for understanding the kind of changes that we experience. And then there might be things like astrology and so forth that are part of the picture.
So bottom line, it's really about mass consciousness and how we're feeling as a group of people, instead of focusing on our desires and wants individually. We need to focus on the harmony of all.
Yes, and finding divine guidance, I think, is also so crucial. That we not just ask, you know, there are different, like, if I'm to ask, what am I going to do at this particular moment, or how shall I outline my future? There are two ways of approaching it. One way is basically to be coming from my ego, and I say, I want this, I want that, and so forth. The other way is trying to surrender to the divine. I mean, there are meditations and many things that I'm sure you're aware of that,
uh-huh,
to help us do these kind of things. That to ask the divine, how do I, what is my path in order to serve you, to serve the cosmic plan, whatever that looks like? Because I'm small here. I don't know the big picture of things. I can do my best in my life here, but what is really what is my path if I am to serve the higher plan, and come from there in asking for guidance? That is something I believe in, rather than sort of sitting and just asking yourself like a separate individual, oh, I want this, I want that, and that kind of thing.
And I'm going to state that I don't think it's wrong for you to ask what you need. You need to ask in order to receive. But if you put in there that you want it to be in accordance with the divine cosmic plan or the divine, then you will be getting what you are wishing for others as well as yourself. Since we're all one, you will be then getting what you are asking.
I would like to see us all be coming from that.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, I don't think anybody else, no other individual can sort of serve as some kind of a mediator of this. We'll have to have it directly from the bigger, from the all, from the divine, I think.
Does the Mayan calendar indicate that we're going to have one world government?
Well, what exactly is that? What is
one government that rules all as opposed to many governments?
No, I see more the end of governments.
Oh, wow. That sounds wonderful. End of governments. I love it.
Well, yes. You know, in one of my articles, I quoted the Quran, and now you may think I'm a Muslim because I've referred to them several times. I'm not necessarily that, but I'm certainly open to it.
Uh-huh.
And where it says that, you know, in the end time scenario, no soul shall control another soul. And I think that's really what we see expressed in the Middle East at this point.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily that they want a new government that follows some democratic, so-called democratic institutions. They just want the freedom. They don't want anybody else to control them. And that is what I see coming, the end to control, the end to governments. And meaning that I also believe that this new world to be born, it will probably come out of some kind of a period of what you might say chaos or anarchy, which might be very frightening to some. It's not frightening to me, but to me it just means that, well, this is a phase that we have to go through in order to have the end to control and dominance, and it's also only from that kind of a state that something new based on harmonious relationships can be created. You know, who needs government?
Well, perhaps the ones who will be more affected by the loss of government will be those who have been dependent on the government to take care of them, such as those on welfare or disability or Social Security, or those even working for the government, which is a huge amount of people. Often those who are taken care of lose their creativity in their thought processes to think beyond life without government. But for those who are used to creating an income, can see more opportunities that perhaps lie globally more than regionally. It's all interesting how this could play out.
It could very well be. I think the future belongs to those that are sort of sincerely wanting freedom in a very fundamental sense.
Wow. Well, either way, I got to tell you, this is a really, really exciting time to be alive. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Whatever happens is going to be absolutely thrilling. Now, let's talk about October 28th, because I'm going to be out on a cruise in the water on that day.
Oh, good for you. Where are you going to be?
On my way to Cozumel. Which is Mayan country.
That's exciting, because of the Mayan, and it's also this. This was some kind of a island with the something special with the women there. I can't remember. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that. But we are sure bringing a lot of women to the island. Does this tie into the Mayan calendar?
Yes, it does. It's a little bit that my approach to this whole thing is very often you'll find it sort of the opposite of what the others that are talking about this phenomenon are saying. In other words, a lot of people are waiting for a big shift that will just suddenly happen out of nowhere. And I'm almost the other side around. I know, and I have been mapping out how shifts have been going on forever, and it's the cosmic shifts that have driven evolution one way or another. These shifts are consciousness, they shift our mind, and shift the world that we are creating around ourselves. So I'm not expecting. If anything, I'm sort of waiting for an end to all these shifts to take place.
Oh, so October 28th is really the end of all of these cosmic shifts, is the end of all of these crises, is the end of basically all of our problems that we created. So we're going to look for happier days after October 28th. Well, I love that. So let me go back and ask you about October 28th and being out on the water.
I envy you, I can say. That's all I can say.
Well, I know. This is going to be a trip of a lifetime because I'm going to go visit the Mayan ruins while I'm in Cozumel. Well, Dr. Coleman, this has been such a fantastic interview. I really loved it. When we only have a few minutes left, what is it that you want to convey to the listeners that we may not have covered?
Well, no, I think we really covered a lot of very things that I really like to talk about, which is what might be in our power in the time ahead. And I think I already sort of made it clear. My own view is that we'll be going through a time now that will be very demanding for us. That we're really, you know, forcing us to let go of many of the ways we've had. And this whole process is all designed to lead to a new and much more beautiful world ahead. And it will come out of the end to all our already established ways of being, you might say. Mm-hmm. And what to that I'd like to add is just what I've been saying, that what I recommend and what I'm working with myself to do and my own approach is to simply ask for guidance from the divine. How do I serve this transformation of the planet? And that's really my message at this time. There are a couple of things, of course. We didn't really speak about my websites and so forth.
Yes, absolutely. Let's tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. Even though you're internationally known, there's some out there who will want to get more information.
Yes. Well, there is my website is kalleman.com, C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N.com. And there I regularly post articles about things that are going on, and you can be on my mailing list, and then you will get these articles automatically. And then I also have a series of books published that you find on that website. And then I'm also working with other people to create a series of global events that are to ride on this wave that we're in now. And that I recommend the website treeoflifecelebration.com. Treeoflifecelebration.com. And we're working there with presenting global events. We've been slow in beginning, I must say, but we're working to offer global events that are all about this transformation to unity consciousness. One of the very exciting things that I'm looking forward to is on July 3rd, which is sort of the midpoint of the ninth wave. We're planning, not only we, there are people in Israel and Palestine that are doing that, for a big event called the Jerusalem Hug. And we will create like mental rings of people, not only those that are gathering to hold hands around the old city of Jerusalem to help thaw the old divisions that have been always there, but to create rounds, circles of people, local medicine wheels and so forth that are sort of just backing up that and just an expression of this desire for peace and for freedom that so many people are holding now.
Let's give that address one more time. It's www.treeoflifecelebration.com. Go there and you can find all of the events that Dr. Kalleman has been talking about. So bottom line, Dr. Kalleman, is that during this time of great cosmic shift, we are supposed to be focusing on harmony, on the greater good of all, on the releasing of all material things that we don't necessarily need to begin with, and to just understand that this is all part of the divine scheme, that something better is emerging, and it's just right around the corner after October 28th.
Yeah, I think so.
Dr. Kalleman, thank you so much for being on my show today. I really am quite honored, and I'm quite grateful for everything that you have done for humanity. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I very much enjoyed. Very much.
If you would like more information on the Mayan calendar, go to the source that will explain it scientifically to you. And that is kalleman.com. That's Kalleman.com. You'll get a wealth of information there. And I am just so happy to report to everyone that the end of the Mayan calendar, or the accumulation of the Mayan calendar, has nothing to do with the end of the world. And as Dr. Kalleman just said, we will have a world hundreds and thousands of years from now. So I'm hoping with that it puts away all of the fear and just turns us to start creating a better tomorrow for all of us. And here's another note. I've noticed during the last month we have been getting speakers and guests on my show that have been talking about the unity consciousness of everyone, and that our focus needs to move away from our individual desires to the desires and the betterment of all. And I keep on seeing this message over and over. And again, this is part of the shift of consciousness. Whereas before, we all came into the law of attraction, focusing in on our immediate desires, on how to get that beautiful new red car or get the extra income to buy that mansion or whatever. But now the focus is moving away from us individually and shifting towards the greater good of all. I think this is a really good place to really come to grips with, because now is the time that we must start looking at everyone as being connected, as being one. All those people in the Middle East, all those people in Japan, all those people in Russia, in Africa, in Brazil, in Chile, they're all us. We are all one. And in order for us to succeed, we need to look beyond our individual desires and to the desires of all. That's what creates the mass consciousness to create the better world. Well, I'm game to put down my individual desires, so I hope you'll join me in creating this beautiful, new, magnificent world. I'm so glad you're here with me to experience this. So in the meantime, I will see you all and talk to you all next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at Jules@LOARadionetwork.com.